Okay, today's daf is Erevin daf Ayin Dalet. Ayin Dalet, we are on Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. We are all the way at the bottom, second to last line, Gufa, but just to start with one point that I did not get to mention yesterday. Special night edition of Daf Yomi. So, says the Gemara at the end of the daf had quoted a statement of Rav Yehu, of Rav, that Rav had understood our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had said, if you remember, the case was there were a number of chatzeros, that our version was they were open to each other and they were open to the mavui. That was our version. But Rav had said that they were not open to each other. They were only open to the mavui. And the question was why? Why is it so important that they were not open to each other? So the Gemara first suggested, well, maybe it's because that Rav says that the institution of Shituf has to be Nikar. It has to be clear that these Chatzeros are joining in through and for the Shituf of the Mavui. And therefore, if there is an option of bringing the wine or whatever is being used for the Shituf Mavos through one yard to the next, to the next, to the next, and only then into the Mavui, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. It has to be that the only exclusive entrance of each chatzar is into the mavui. And so that the wine could go directly from the chatzar into the mavui. That was one suggestion the Gemara made, but the Gemara rejected that because there was a number of sources that seemed to say that there is no such requirement of going from bringing the food, right? If people are just sitting and relaxing on a Friday afternoon and they're in the middle of a meal, which is a separate issue of whether you're allowed to eat a sudas keva on Friday afternoon. That's another discussion that could be had. Says the Gemara, they could just be mizakeit to everyone involved, and you'll be yotzei for the Erev and for the Shituf, depending on if it's in the house or in the yard. But you see from there was no transfer of any item. So the Gemara says it must be for a different reason, that Rav says what he says, and that is because of the rule, which we'll get back to Be'ez Hashem today, that a mavui is only a nitar balechi v'kora, as we've had earlier in the Masechta, the special allowance of just putting up balechi v'kora at the edge of a mavui only works if there is this special unique structure. If there are houses going into yards and yards going into mavuis. But if there are yards going into yards, then the whole structure falls apart. Okay, just now a ha'ara on the Rishonim here. The Rishonim here, when they discussed this case, that was the final question that knocked out the previous answer. Tosfos, for example, and the Ritva is even clearer, Tosfos, on the first medium line of Tosfos, in Dibra Maschel B'nei, says Tosfos, even earlier, the Gemara couldn't have suggested here that they went in and out of the Chatzeros, because they're sitting. Stama, and now on the first medium line, in Tosfos, Stama demil sa'iri, shabala bayez zehizminam lezoretzlo. This bala bayez, one of the owners in the chatzer, was mazman, invited them to sit with them. Af api shalozicha, even though he wasn't mizake them in the food that is there, somchin alpas shala shulchan, we can still rely on the bread that's on the table. De kazachu bodamu, it's like he was mizake it to them. What does it sound like from Tosfos? There is a question. The Mishnah Melech has this suffix in Hilchas Chiras in Perek Yud Beis. When guests are eating over at a host house, let's say I have a family over, and I put food in front of them. At that moment, before they eat the food, was I makne them the food? Does the food now belong to them? And when they eat it, they're eating their own food? Or, no, it's mine. It's my food which I'm allowing you to partake of. How do we look at food? So you might say this gets into the issue of being makne kinyanim on Shabbos. Because if you have guests on Shabbos, which most of the time is when we really have guests, so if you say that it's yours, say, is that a violation of haknas kinyan? So the poskim, the Rishonim, and the Achronim even more so, aren't really worried about that. Even if you want to take the tzad of the suffix that it belongs to the Archim, this was never included in the Isser Drabanan of Hakna on Shabbos. But in any case, Tosfos sounds like the food still belongs to the Bala Mayas. He says he's not really makna it to them. And the Ritva is even more clear. The Ritva says, Ki afapi she'eno makna lahem beferish pas sha'al gabe ha'shulchan, even though he's not makna it to them, mikol makom hari yesh lahem bo schus. But they have a schus in it, kivan shezimnon lecho, because he invited them to eat, v'yecholon lecho l'daitam, and they can eat, v'hari yukilu nishtashvu bo imo. It's as if they did a shituf. meaning you don't need legal ownership, says the Ritva, say Tosfos, but rather just the rights. That's could be good enough to be included in a shitav. Where does this come up? Lamaisa, lamaisa, if you want a nafkamina in terms of bailus. So this is a Ramah. The Ramah in Eben Ezer says, what happens if I have guests over and I have some yeshiva guys and some girls over, and two of them happen to be going out with each other, and all of a sudden the guy takes him, maybe this is the reason why you shouldn't have boys and girls at the same Shabbos, but the guy takes his piece of chicken that I just put in front of him, and he takes it, and separate from the issue of the Isser of being getting married on Shabbos, he takes the chicken and says, Hariyam Kudeshes Li, Ba'ov Zuk, Das Moshe V'Yisrael. So, is he allowed to do that? Separate from the issue of Kinyanim, but does it work on a Daraisa level? Is it his? That's the question of the Ramah. Says the Ramah, Oreach she yoshev etzol balabayas v'notel chelko v'kidesh bo have mikudeshes. The Ramah says it works. They're married. The Nosek Kalim aren't so sure about it. Maybe it's only Suffolk married. How could he say it's Vade married? But that's the sheet of the Ramah. If you look at the Chachma Shlomo, or Shlomo Kluger, right here on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, says the Chachma Shlomo, I think there's a distinction that you can make. Dehechi da'achal ha'oreach kidei savo. If the guest ate his fill, and now he's taking an extra piece of chicken and using it, so then that's not good. Oz ha'moser chosel ha'balabayis. Di'esh umdina de'lo hikna lo rak kidei achilaso. Mistama, the balabayis only wants you to eat a normal-sized portion. If everybody else ate a normal-sized portion, and now you're going to use it to go beyond, then that's not no good. But if you minimize what you ate, aval im tzimtzim v'lo achal kidei savo. It's unbelievable. This is the Chachma Shlomo. It's b'chalik, whether you ate your fill. V'haya yachol le'echol od. You could eat more, but you stopped yourself. V'lo achal. So then what's left on your plate, say, havishalo. V'yachol litno l'misha yirtze. U'ke'ein t'kaimalon ba'almana tzimtzim avosira. But almana is supposed to get money from the ksuba, and she takes less. He says, I like that distinction. That is what the Chachma Shlomo says. Look at the other version. The Be'er Heitev here says, now, is it a vadai kiddushin? Meaning if this woman would go now and accept kiddushin from a different man, she would vadai be eina mukudeshas? Not even suffik? Says, I find that amazing to believe. At least suffik. But either way, this is a nafkamina in terms of whose food is it when it is put in front of the guest. So this is the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. There's another nafkamina. Another nafkamina. Where else? The Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes at least quotes an opinion in Maseches Sukkah on Daf Lamed Hey that, just like we know, Ulakachtem Lachem Bayom Arishon Pri Eitz Hadar, the first day of Sukkot, your lulav has to be yours. So, what about your matzah? Does your matzah have to be yours on the first night of Sukkot, the first night of Pesach? So, we don't usually assume that, but the Sfas Emes, at least based on the Gemara in Sukkah Lamed Hey, Umashba de Maskonas Gemara Kenu, Ulafizet Srichen Lizar be Matzah Shal Mitzvah, Sheyeha Matzah Shalot. Right? Dafka, Ula Oreach al Shulchan Balabayas, Sarach Litein Loha Balabayas, Hamatzah be Matana, Velosagi be Mashaher Sheyu Lechol, the Tzarech Leo Shalom Amish, Viha Olam Ein Nisharan Bazet. Says the Sfas Emes, the Olam is not knowing to be machmer like this, but the Sfas Emes says, it appears to me, that your matzah is compared to lulav, and your matzah has to be yours on the first night of Sukkot. So two nafkaminas, in terms of guests having their own food, not, of course they can eat it, but is it theirs? Nafkamina regarding marriage, nafkamina regarding matzah, if the matzah has to be yours. Where we generally don't assume that, for that is the chumrah of the Sfas Emes. Okay. Let us continue now. That is related to the last point that we made. Oh, just one other ha'ara, right? That is the Me'iri. The Me'iri says, also brings up this issue a little bit later in the Masechta, and he says, no matter what you say by Erev, that doesn't have to be a raya to marriage. Because by marriage, it really has to be yours. By Erev, you just have to be connected to it somehow to be able to take part in the Shituf. Says the Me'iri, the Afalpi, Shelo Hikna Lahem Beferish, Stama Dvarim Kolshe Zmanam, Harihuki Zimnam, Harihuki Ilu Nishtathu Bawimo. Right, he points it on the bottom, in the footnotes, he says, Lagabe Erev Ezar El Shulam Schus Achila Bimaka Meshutaf. Mashenke Bekidushin to buy Mama Mishalo. Could be that marriage has a higher standard. So no matter what the Rishonim say here, you might not be able to be medaktik to as to what it says elsewhere. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara now Gufa, talking about this last line that was quoted of Rav. So Amar Rav, let's repeat it. We have this back in the first parak as well. Amarav, Ein mavui nitar balechi v'kora ad sheyu batim v'chatzeres psuchim l'socha. So again, Rav is the most machmir, so to speak. The whole heter of having just putting up a lechi or a kora, one little post, only works if you have this regular structure. If you have houses into yards and yards into alleyways. If you don't have that, then you would not treat it as a mava, you would treat it as a chatzer. If you remember from the first couple prakim in the Masechta, to enclose a chatzer takes more than enclosing a mavui. To enclose a mavui, you have this big open area at the end of your mavui, and all one needs is to put a little token lechi or kora, horizontal or vertical beam. To enclose a chatzer, it's got to be much smaller, but the beam has to be bigger. You have to put a pas arba. You have to put a pas, a board of four tvachim wide. Right? You can't just rely if you a chatzer. So ironically, we mentioned then that a mavui, which is more public, requires less to enclose it. Remember, on a daraisa level, it's all rishus hayachid. But on a darabana level, what do the rabbanan require? So the more public the area, the more public it would be allowed to stay. And this we mentioned then from the Tshuva of the Rashba. I think I mentioned this at the end of the year yesterday as well. The Tshuva of the Rashba, it's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah as well, but the Rashba says in Chelek Hei Simin Reish Gimel that Chazal patterned what you need based on the type of usage that is in the place. In a chatzer, they require it to be more private. Because a chatzer, you do more private actions. As compared to a mavui, which is an alley, where there's a lot more people there, it's more public, so you do less private things, so the tikkun that's required is less. Says the Rashba, Mistavra, Kalshehu asu yoser ledira, uletashmishe hatsne velecho bahem, the more that it's made for private purposes, tsarich yotzer mechisos gemuros. A chatzer requires more enclosure. Lefichach hachatzero shabali batim shedarkon lehishtamish ben yotzer betashmish hatzne velechal lehem. You don't eat in a mavui. You eat in a chatzer. So tzrichas hamechitzos yotzer gemuros. You need more mechitzos. V'chein adin mevavos she'ein batim v'chein shes psuchen l'socha. Where you have less, you have more public, more public space and therefore less private actions that require less. That's the great line of the Rashba. The more people, the less usage. That is the Rashba. What we didn't mention then was a second reason. A second reason why you would need more to enclose a chatzer than a mavui. Again, that's what Rav is saying here. That if you don't have this regular structure, I'm going to require more. And that's the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi and Simen Hei. This is the tshuva I think we mentioned earlier in the Masechta, where he talks about the city, Ir E, Shekorin Hague, the Eretz Hollandia. Right, the Hague in Holland, the city that's an island. And he said, doesn't need an Erev, because the island itself, it goes down in the water so steeply, that itself is like, is as if it is surrounded. The Charitzim. That's what he says, that he's Mekel. So in that Shuva, he talks about this issue, and he says, we find various places in Meseches Erevin that were more Mekel by the Rabbim than we are by the Yachid. By the Yachid, we'd be more Machmir. Von Muchach Mikola Talmud, not only Erevin, Talmud. The Adarabba, L'Rabbim Mikilin, Kitakaimala, like we learned at the end of the first parak, when you have a Shayara, and we have a caravan that you want to just enclose an open area in the desert. You could just take some plow, pump some saddles or some rope, and you're allowed to have what was called a mechitza gerua. So that would be okay in a shayara for a bunch of people stuck, but not one person stuck. And we tamze, and that's why he says, hey kelu b'mavui b'lechi u'b'chatzis or shnei pasin. We should b'stam mavui darn by Yosef b'nei Adam. There are more people that frequent the mavui than that frequent the chatzir. And therefore he says, you find that he brings other examples of this as well. We always find that in Hilchas Erevin specifically, he generalizes it, but all his examples are from Erevin, says that we are more mako when it comes to Rabim than when it comes to Yachim. So that's the second idea. Besides the Rashba, we have the Chacham Tzvi.
is the underlying reasoning because somebody's liable to remind you
So that could be part of it, right? They don't mention that, but that's pashtus. That definitely has to play a role. That the more public it is, the more people there are there that there are for maskirim, for people to remind you that it is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim coming up, and you have to be careful. But we had that sefer once earlier in the Masechta, but lechora that is something that would be taken into account as well. But that is shita's Rav. Rav is the most minimal shita, the most machmir shita. Shmuel says no. Shmuel says afilu. You can even use, you know, just putting up your one board at the end of your mavui. Afilu bayis echad v'chatzer achas. Even if you only have one chutz, one house going into one chutzer and going into your mavui. So that is all you need. Or bayis echad v'chatzer achas. Rashi says it means if you have one house connected to the mavui on one side, and you have on the other side, you have one house going into a chutzer, which is going into your mavui. So that's good enough. You don't need two houses going into two chatzeros going into your bavi. You don't need that. That's Shita Shmuel. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu churva. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't even need a residence on the side going into your mavui. On the one side you can have a yard with a house, and on the other side you can have a churva, a dilapidated building. That's also good enough. Amar le Abayel Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan afilu b'shvil shel kramim. How far does Rav Yochanan go? Right, even a churva. So does he mean totally? You don't need any type of makum dira, even a row of vineyards. That's what you can have. You don't need any makum dira going in on the other side. Amar le said, no. Lo Amar Rav Yochanan ela b'churva. Only a churva, the dilapidated building falling apart. That's what's allowed to chazi ladira. Because that is at least somewhat chazi ladira, right? It has a little roof, it has a couple of walls, even though it's dilapidated, but it's still something. Avo shvil shel kramim, to lo chazi ladira lo, but a shvil of kramim, right, it's just a vineyard path, so that for sure would not be allowed. So we have three different days for the laws. How do we get into this? How do we get into this discussion? Because remember, we had a girsa that Rav had in our Mishnah, that the case has to be yars going into the mavui, not going into each other. Why did he say that? Because of this rule. So once this rule comes up, we talk about it a little deeper as well. Once we're talking about a churva, interesting to remember, the Gemara that many are familiar with on the second daf in Shas, right? The Gemara in Brachas daf Gimel, where the halachas of churva are mentioned. Here we're talking about a churva being on the side of a mavui. But if you remember then, the story went as follows. The Gemara quotes Rav Yossi, Pamachas hayiti mahalik baderech v'nechnasi l'churva achas mi'churvos Yerushalayim l'spalel. Rav Yossi says, I went into a churva to daven. So you see from that Gemara, even that is important. It's not just a dafyomi connection, but that Gemara even proves that a churva is roi l'dira. He went inside to daven. He's able to use inside the churva. But Eliyahu zachor latov v'shamar li'al pesach. Eliyahu Navi waited till I finished davening, and la'achar shesiyamti tfilasi amali, which even shows you if you're in the middle of Sefer Shmoneh Esrei and you see Eliyahu Navi, you don't stop. You keep davening. That's what it says in the Gemara. He waited till I finished. He waited this long, so many thousands of years, he can wait an extra few minutes, so I finished davening. La'achar shesiyamti tfilasi amali shalom alecha rebi v'amarti lo shalom alecha rebi amori. And he's asked me, "V'amar li b'ni, mipnei ma nechnasa l'churva zu? Why'd you go in here? Why'd you go into the churva?" Amarti lo li hispalel. I went into daven. I went to daven in the middle of the street. Amar li ha'ilo lechispalel b'derech. Why not? You should have davened outside. The amarti lo misyare hayiti shema yafsiku be'ovei drachim. If people see, you know, me in the middle, they're going to come over. They're going to ask me questions. You know, I just saw the metzias. I needed to daven privately. But Amar Li, Hayel Chalis Palat Tfila Katsara. Okay, you should have at least davened shorter, right? You're in the middle of a churva. You shouldn't go into a churva. But Osa Shoah, Rav Yossi said, I learned three things from Eliyahu Hanavi at the time, and the Maariv Chayes here discusses: are you allowed to learn halacha from Eliyahu Hanavi? Lo b'shamayim he. So he says, if he's saying it out of halacha, not out of nevuah, you can still learn from him. He's not saying something from heaven, right? The halacha is he's just telling you logic. So he said, I learned three things from him. Number one, you can't go into a churva. Number two, you could daven on the road. And number three, if you daven, and if you're in a dire situation, you could daven a shorter Shmoneh Esrei. Okay. And then they said, what did you hear in the churva? Churva of Yerushalayim. You heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kav Yachol, crying over the base of Mikdash. But that Gemara then says, why are you not allowed to go into a churva? Our Gemara says, it's Roy Ladira. So why can't you go into a churva? So the Gemara says three reasons. Number one, chshad. Why? Because people are going to think that there's a zona in there, and that's where you're going. Number two, mapoles, it could fall down on you. It's not so steady. And number three, mazikin. There are mazikin there, and the Gemara then goes through all the nafkaminas. If you're two people, there's no mazikin, there's no chad, but you saw the reason of mapoles. If it's during the daytime, right? So all different the reasons. Those are the three reasons why one is not allowed to go into the chorva. But our Gemara says that a chorva is ra'ui ladira. Okay, so we have three shitas in the Gemara. Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan. In terms of when do the rules of Mavui and just being misakin it with the lechi and the korah apply. Amarafuna barchinina. The Azda, Rabbi Yochanan the Taimei. Rabbi Yochanan goes according to his reasoning. What is the shita of Azda, Rabbi Yochanan the Taimei? So we will see exactly what the lishitaso is, but he doesn't make any gzeros. Even though there is a churva on one side, and this is what Rashi is foreshadowing what the Gemara is going to say, even though there is a churva on one side and a chatzar with a house on the other side, he's not worried that you're going to go from that house into the yard, into the mavoi, into the churva. He's not worried about that. He says you could still put the lechi and the korah at the end. So as we'll see, that's going to be l'shitaso. It's not. Because the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echad Gagos, Echad Karpifos, Echad Chatzeros. We've had this already in this Pesachta. Rabbi Shimon holds that all semi-public, semi-private areas, roofs, which were basically used as backyards in those days, or a karpef, a big open area, or a chatzer, Rishus Achas Hein LeKelim Sheshav Sulasochad, all the kelim that were there when Shabbos started, you can move it from the yard to the roof, to the yard to the roof, to the karpef. They're all considered one big Rishus. But you're not allowed to take things from your house into the yard and from the yard into the gag, the chul. Meaning if there is a something in the house under the gag and you bring it to the gag, you can't go further than that. That is what Rav Shimon says. V'yama Rav halacha k'Rav Shimon, and Rav says the halacha is like Rav Shimon, v'hu shelo irvu. As long as, ironically, there was no eruv made. Meaning, if you have houses that are going into a chatzer, so what does Rav Shimon say? Kalim that are in that chatzer, when Shabbos started, you can bring to another chatzer. But what about if that chatzer made an eruv? So then Rav says, you cannot go from one chatzer to another chatzer. Why? Because you're allowed to bring from the house into this chatzer. So if you're allowed to bring from the chatzer to the chatzer, you might bring from the house to the chatzer as well. So that's why Rav Shimon only allows this, going from chatzer to chatzer, if they did not make an eruv. Aval irvu, but if they made an eruv, gazrinon dilma asila fuke, mani debatim lechatzer. He's worried that they might bring out kalim of the house into the chatzer and then go to another chatzer. So Rav is goes there. Shmuel Amar, no, don't worry about it. Bein irvu, bein lo irvu. Rav Shimon meant it, even if they made an eruv, we're not worried. We're not gozer that you might bring something from the house into the yard, then to another yard. We don't have to worry about that. That would be aser. But we're not worried about it. So you see, Rabbi Yochanan also agrees to Shmuel. So what do you see? Alma lo gazrinan, dilma asi laafuke mani debatim lachatzer. You see that in that case, he's not worried that you might bring items, kalim, from the house to the yard and from the yard to the other yard. Hachanami lo gazrinan, dilma asi laafuke mani dechazel lachorva. So do in our case, Lishita, so he's not worried. You're going to bring something from the house to the yard to the mavui, and then the mavui to the churva on the other side. Good, let's stop there for a minute. We're talking about whether Rabbi Yochanan has this Isser Durabanan or not. There is we can mention this at almost every daf and shas, but it came up in the mitzvah here today, so it's in my head, so I wanted to mention it again. And that is the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim. Very important Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim and Perek Tes. The Rambam asked a simple question. How could there ever be an Issur D'Rabbanan? Right, we know you have to listen to the Rabbanan. The Torah says Lo Sasur. But why isn't every Din D'Rabbanan or Issur D'Rabbanan a violation of Baal Tosef? Right, they're adding on to the Torah. The Torah says 613 rules. So why? How could they add on? They'll add on this Isser and writing with this and doing this Isser Drabbanan. How could they add on? That's the Rambam's question, right? Nobody less than the Rambam. Ho will, says the Rambam, at the end of Perek Beis and Ilchos Mamrim. The Rabbanan can make gezeiros to Rabbanan that can last forever. They said no medicine on Shabbos in certain cases that lasts forever. So since they can make halachas that last forever, so So what about the isser that's mentioned twice in the Torah, of Bal Tosif, adding on to the Torah? Why isn't this a violation? Why isn't that a violation? Says the Rambam, let me tell you, let me explain. If the Bezek came along and said that Bisar Of Bechalav is also Deoraisa, so then that would be a problem about Tosif. If the Rabbanan say that chicken and milk is also Deoraisa, that would be an Isra about Tosif. But if what they say is that Basar, beef, Bechalav is Daraisa, and we are adding on Bisar Of Bechalav as an Isra Rabbanan, as a Syug, That's not a violation of Bal Tosif. They're not saying that this is what the Torah said. This is what we're saying. That's not a problem. Avalim Amar Bisar Of Mutter Min HaTorah. V'anu Ne'esar. So we're answering it. V'nodia La'am Shu Gzeira. And we let them know that it's a Gzeira. Shelo Yavo. Because if not, if they wouldn't say that it's a gzeira, what would happen? Tragedy. What's going to happen? The yom rubasar of mutter. What? Chicken and milk is from the Torah, but that's not written in the Torah. Oh, must be that's mutter too. Must be the Rabbanan were lying. Oh yeah, so you know what? Beef also, the Rabbanan never meant it. It only means gidi. Oh, it only means in the goat milk of its mother. Meaning, once we start fabricating and saying this is Daraisa, then just like step one will be proven to be wrong, then all the steps and Mamela, everything will be forgotten. That would be a violation of Bal Tosif. Who is the first one, and this is a fascinating Hara, who is the first one to violate the Isra Bal Tosif in the world, in the history of the world? And one can even argue that this was the first Aveira that was ever done in the history of the world. Before the Chait of Adam and Chava, when they ate from the tree. What was the first Aveira? Chava violated Bal Tosif. This is what Rav Hirsch says in Parshas Bereishis. What did she say? She said to the Nachash, Hashem told me not to touch the tree. If she would have said, Hashem told me not to eat from the tree, and I'm adding on that I'm not even going to touch the tree, everything would have been beautiful, history would have been different, maybe we would never have gotten thrown out of Gan Eden. Okay, but she didn't say that. She said, Hashem told me not to eat, touch the tree. Once she said that, what did the Nachash do? Exactly what the Rambam describes here. The Nachash said, look, this is not true, you're not going to die, you touched it, and Mamela, everything else fell into the place of the Chait. So that could be the first Isser that was done. The Avos Rabbi Nassan, in the second paragraph of Avos Rabbi Nassan, they also discussed this as well, that she was the first one to make a Siyag La Torah. But it was mistaken, because she didn't keep it as a Siyag. She made the Siyag into a Din, and that was a violation of Bal Tosif. That's by generally Isuri Drabanan. And here, that's the issue in our Gemara. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan is not worried about the Isser Drabanan of carrying. He goes there, midra banan, because of the worry of carrying from a house to the yard to the mavui to the chorva. Good, we continue. Yosef Rav Brona, the Karmala Shmaitzer, Rav Brona was saying this over. Amar le Rabbi Lazar bar Beirav, Amar Shmuel Hachi. Did Shmuel really say this? Did Shmuel say that it's mutter and you're not worried, you don't make such gzeiros? Amar le in, he says, yeah, Shmuel did say this. Amar le Achmi lo Shpizi. Can you please show me where Shmuel is staying? Show me Shmuel's inn. I wanna double check this with him. Achvile. So he showed him where Shmuel was staying. Asalakami de Shmuel. So he came in front of Shmuel. Amar le, Amar Marhachi. Did you say this? Amar le, he says, yeah, I said this. Again, what's the case? If you have a churva on where Shmuel was the second one, a house on one side and a chatzar on the other side. Rabbi Yochanan went even one step further with a churva. But did he say this? He didn't hold like Rav? Right, you don't need two chatzeros? Did you say this? He says, yes. He says, but didn't you, Shmuel, tell us, Ein lanu be'erevin ela kelasha mishna seinu. In Erevin, you have to take Lashonos of the Mishnah literally. And what does the Mishnah say? Shahamavui, what at the end of our Mishnah, on the previous Amud. Shahamavui lechatzeros kechatzel abatim. So what is the lashon of the Mishnah? Chatzeros, plural. Shmuel, how could you say that one chatzer is good enough? Don't you take Mishnayos, the language, literally? Ishtik and Shmuel didn't answer. Question is, why didn't he answer? Why didn't he answer? It's always unclear. Is it shtika kahoda'a? Or is it, no, I'm not interested in getting into it with you. So that's what the Gemara asks. Kibla mine, o lo kibla mine. Did Shmuel accept this argument? Did he accept this problem with his shita and change his shita and agree to Rav that you need two chatzeros going into the Mavli, or no? Or maybe he still held steadfast in his views that only one chatzer is needed. You can have one house on one side and one chatzer on the other side. So let's try to prove what Shmuel said. Tashma tiyahu mevoa dahavi dayer bei avus bar ihi. There was a Mavli that Avus Bar Ihi lived in. And it's clear, and it's going to become clear in the Gemara, that the case was that there was a chatzer on one side of the Mavli, there was a house, Avus's house, went into the chatzer, into the Mavli, and on the other side of the Mavli, there was a shul. There was a shul connected. There was right, that was it. That was the structure. There weren't two chatzeros. There was just a shul. So you have a Avus's house and chatzer on one side, and you have a shul on the other side. So what happened? Avid Lelechia. And what happened? So Avus made a lechi at the end of the Mavli, and Vishara le Shmuel. And Shmuel allowed it. So it sounds like from that story, there's only one chatzer, and Shmuel allowed it. And what happened then? Asa Rav Anan Shadya. Rav Anan, who was a Talmud of Shmuel, came, Rashi adds, after Shmuel died, and took it down, threw it down. He took it down, which by the way is already the Raya. Because the Raya is that Shmuel did not retract. Right? This was a case of a one chatzer mavui, and he didn't retract. Right? He died and he still held the shitas. You see, he did not accept the argument from before. But either way, so Rav Anan came and threw it down. Amar. Ava says, excuse me, what are you doing? Mavoa de dairanabe. I lived in this mavui for years. Va'aisina mishmeidemar Shmuel. Shmuel was the one who, he was the Rav HaMachshir of this Eruv. Of this, he put up this lechi. Nasi Rav Anan Barav Nishadye Min? You're gonna take it, you're gonna just passel it? Who do you think you are? Shmuel says this is kosher. So, Shmamina, so that was the story. So Shmamina, okay, but what do you see from that whole story? That Shmuel held fast and said, one is good enough. You see Rav Anan argued, but one is good enough. Rav Anan, right. Nasi Rav Anan, yeah, Barav, like, right, the same
Rav,
person.
Is it the same
Rav and Shmuel? Rav Anan, Barav. No, Barav here might just mean a member of the yeshiva. I don't think it's Barav. But if it would take it literally, then it would be even more interesting. But either way, so Shvam Nalo Kiblamine. So the Gemara says, no, really, La'olam Eimalacha Kiblamine. Really, Shmuel, it could be that Shmuel did accept. He did accept that you need two chatzeros. Aye, so where is it here? There's only one chatzer. On the other side is a shul. No. The hacha chazanahu dahavi achol nama bebeise. The asi bayis mekinishta. The gabai of the shul used to sleep in the shul. He ate in his house and slept in the shul. Meaning, the shul was a beis dira. It wasn't that you didn't have any beis dira on the other side. There was a shul on the other side and he lived there. Right, Rashi on the third line. V'yahu mavoa lahachi shara le Shmuel. This is why Shmuel matured it. The chazana haviyachol naba bevese shayla b'makom acher. He used to eat somewhere else and sleep in the shul. V'hashta and that's what happened. And that's why Shmuel allowed it. The problem was, Rashi explains, this is not in the Gemara, that he stopped using the shul. And that's when Rav Anan came and knocked it down. The Avus Bar Ihi Savar Makam Pita Garim. Avus Bar Ihi thought that Makam Pita, as we mentioned yesterday, the place of eating is the Iker, and this Chazan never ate here anyway. So it's a riot that Shmuel says, even one Chazer is good enough. Ushmuel Atameit Amar Makam Lina Garim. But it could be that Shmuel is Lishita So. You go by the sleeping place, and here the Gabbai slept in the shul, so it was a makam dira on the other side, so there's no raya that one chatzer is good enough. Period. Okay, a couple of important points that come up on this Gemara. First is the variant, the Chashuk Echemed, which this issue just screams out at us. This is one of the main issues on the Gemara. Oh, first is, I'm just opening it now, I see, I was going to start with another case that I forgot to mention yesterday. Yesterday we spoke about fathers and sons and Talmidim and Rebbeim, so I forgot that I was going to start with this case. So also an interesting case, and we'll get to the one that has to do with us right now. Bas Me'umetzes, we're speaking about Av and Beno, fathers and children, are they considered Yachid, are they considered Tzibur? So he had the following Shaila. There was an adopted daughter whose parents abandoned her when she was very, very young, and she was taken in by other parents who were tzaddikim and unbelievable. They brought her up, and now this woman is an older woman. She's really grown up. She has children. She's a grandmother, and she asks Rav Silverstein, "Should I or can I find out who my real parents are? Should I open up the teak? Is there an idea of kibud av v'aim? They abandoned me." But on the other hand, should I know who they are? Maybe it's worse if I find out because, you know, that I'll know who they are and you shouldn't. So it's a very, very, touchy question. And again, it's not for a general psak, but every case is unique and different. But he says, I asked my brother-in-law, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he says, Haim ein inyan shetivarer mihem horeha. Is there an inyan to know your yichus? We had 2 weeks ago in the Parsha, right? They brought Sifra Yuchseyem, and that's why there was Zochet to Kabbalah Satorah. So, Rechaim Kadievsky said, as long as she knows, and she knows, that was the case, that they were Ksherim, Lavo Bakahal, they weren't Mamzerim, they weren't Nisinim, right? They weren't any, he says, there's no reason to know more. There's no reason to know more. You know your Yichus. And if they, you know, didn't take care of you, and they didn't, they abandoned you at that time. They weren't able to, whatever the case is. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, there's no chiyuv to know, there's no chiyuv of kibud av v'aim in that circumstance. But again, every case is different. I want you to take that halacha l'maisa. But the other issue here, which is, we haven't touched on this yet, but we've had 3 Gemaras like this already in this Masechta. If you think that an Erev is problematic, are you allowed to go and just break it and throw it down? Rav Anan here, what did he do? After Shmuel died, he went and he threw down the Lechi. Is one allowed to do that? So Rav Zilberstein discusses it here, and he quotes Mashma from this Gemara that he was Mapel the Erev. So if you think an Erev is possible, you could do that. See, he quotes many, many Rayas that you cannot do that. And if there is Yeshbiyah Malismo, even if I don't agree with it, he can't touch it. He can't touch the Eruv. And he quotes from the Mishnah Halachas of Menashe Klein, right? This was very Lamaisa in terms of the Brooklyn Eruv, which Rav Moshe said was a problem, but many other poskim, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta, Rav Moshe has certain Das Yechidim and Hilchas Eruvin. So he quotes here from the Mishnah Halachas that he says, no, this Gemara proves just the opposite. He waited till after, right, what happened? Right, after Rav died, it says the Mishnah Halachos, after Shmuel died, Hari Kibal Al-Kach Rav Evos, V'amr Mavod Adai Ranabai, Nezir Rav Anan Barav Neshadyeh, Klomar, Rav Evos Hitvonein, Echir Rav Rav Anan, how could you do this? Very Chas V'Shalom, that Rav Anan would do it in his lifetime, right, so Hayitachin, Aval L'Hapil L'Chayim Otsuras HaPesach, Masha Pasku Gdoli Yisrael, V'Tiro Piyadora, he says, also to do that, it's a Bizayin, and he quotes many other cases, and all the Gemaras, we have 3 or 4 cases already on Daf Yud Aleph earlier, where it seems like certain Amoraim or Tanan broke down the other person's Erev. You have to rework it to know exactly how to understand the Gemara, and the Mishnah Halachos and others prove otherwise. And now Rav Zilberstein says now his own Raya. He says, L'anias daiti nira litchos is a Raya spofa nosaf. Sha'afilu im nomar. Even if you want to say that the Amoraim had any type of heter, says, they were fighting the Kines Hashem. They were totally the Shem Shamayim. They were not connected to politics at all. They were not connected to anything from this world. It's Serva Merabonon Derasach, Oraisa Rasach. It's the Torah that's lighting them on fire. We are not on that level. We are nowhere near being so totally L'Shem Shamayim. Like the Gemara says, who wrote the Bracha V'Lam Hashinim? Shmuel HaKatan. Why? Why couldn't anybody write the Bracha V'Lam Hashinim? Why? Because he said that in Pirkei Avos. All of us, we have a little personal, you know, the Lamal Shinim, the people who are so anti, you know, we would have a little personal element when we would write it. He was the only one who could write it Lishma. Says of Zilberstein, he says, who could say that anybody in our generation would be so Lishma and we're fighting the kinnas, the fire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in us? He says it's similar, this is fascinating, it's similar to what many explain how the Ravid could use such charif lashonos against the Rambam. Oh, this is, how could this be? Lo nahir, velo zahir. Such strong lashonos. He quotes this from a number of achronim. He says, the Ravid says that because the Ravid had such a deep feeling that he thought the Rambam was wrong. But he didn't break anything down, but he had to express it because that was his MS, he says. He says, for example, in a shir, if a student asks an amazing question and a student asks an okay question, he says a Rebbe has to, not embarrassing anybody, but has to give a certain chashivus to the question so that the students realize the MS of the questions and the one that was closer to the MS or not. So he says, if the Ravid would have been very calm and cool and collected with the Rambam, then he, say these achronim, would be mishaker to his own Talmidim. They have to know how I think about this Rambam. But he says, all of this is shayach, bedoras hakadmonim. Bedoras hakadmonim, he says, biyameinu. We're not that pure. We're not that pure fighting the fires of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And, we have to make sure that we follow, Derechei Adarchei Noham, and we don't violate anything that we shouldn't be violating. Just he quotes this at the end. It's just a very interesting one time that the Ravid is not so argumentative. In the Ravid in Hilchas Nedarim, in the first parak, he quotes on the Rambam, Ein Dvarim Halalu Mechuvarim. I don't think these are so straight. And the Kesef Mishnah there says, why is he so calm? He always screams and bites the Rambam's head off. And here he just says, Ein Mechuvarim. The Rambam here is not based on anything, and it's totally against the Gemara. And I don't know why he didn't say even stronger Lashonos there. But what was the Kesef Mishnah doing? Because he's saying the Ravid, if he is so against it, he thinks this is not the MS, he shows it. But either way, Rav Zilberstein says, we are nowhere near on that level, and therefore we have to make sure that any of this Shviras Eirvin or Rachman al-Islam we hear today of stories of Machlokas Aposkim, and therefore sometimes in some neighborhoods people taking Eirvin down. It's terrible, and that's what the Chashuke Chemed here discusses. Somebody doesn't want to personally use the Erev, that's their choice. But in terms of physical destruction, that for sure is not allowed. And he says even at the end, even if in the stories, it doesn't say that they broke it. It just says that they removed it. They didn't break anything. They weren't mazik. Okay. What else does this... That's one point on this Gemara. The other point of the Gemara is the literal... What does it say about the Chazan? The Chazan, it says, slept in the shul. And that was originally, and he ate somewhere else. Are you allowed to sleep in a shul? Is one allowed to sleep in a shul? So that's also not so clear. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Kuf Nun Aleph, in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, Shulchan Aruch says, Ein Yeshenim BeBeis HaKnesses Afilu Shenas Harai. One is not allowed to sleep in a shul. I will be based on medrash mutter. Based on medrash, we're a little more laid back. But sleeping in a base of knesses. Right earlier, the Shulchan Aruch discusses, very halachas that maybe we have to be more careful about. The Shulchan Aruch says, in the beginning of Kufnan Aleph, but the knesios about the medrashos, a nogin by him kalas rosh, kigon schok, vehitel, visicha betela. The Lahoras Nassan, Rav Nassan Gestetner, has an amazing tshuva in Chelik Aleph. He says, we're all focused on not talking during davening, which is 100%. We have to be focused on that. But the Shulchan Aruch says more than that. You're not allowed to talk sicha b'teila in a shul. What about before davening? What about after davening? So Lahoras Nassan wonders. He says, how is it possible? He says, are we all wrong? From the second you walk into shul, you can't just talk sicha b'teila? To talk to your friend, how's it like in the hallway? Or even in the main shul while you're wrapping up your tillin? He says, if we can, we can. But he's more a heter on as long as it is neutral conversation. He said it must be that kahai gavna, this is how the shuls were constructed originally, with this tenai, that neutral talk, how you doing, how's the family, that's stam sicha. My sicha, we might even call it sicha b'teila, but sometimes we need some sicha b'teila in life, right? It's not that every second is learning a davening. We have to shmooze a little bit. So how can we do, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say you can't do that in a shul. So Laharas Nassan says that bizman hazeh, it must be that the shuls were built adai to tahachi. That's his heter, and therefore it would be okay. Then he goes into, what about the Rachava Kotel HaMa'aravi? What about the Kotel area, does that have the status of a shul? In terms of Sicha Batela, in terms of, well, we think of it, oh, only in front of the wall. What about in back of the wall? This is also an interesting, very Lamaisa, but at least the message for us is we have to make sure that we curb, and obviously, Dvarim Lashon Hara, besides Lashon Hara, it's Lashon Hara in a shul, but that we have to make sure that we are very careful in what we say in a shul. But specifically, as the Shulchan Aruch continues, related to us is, can't sleep in a shul. So what was he doing? So the similar question is asked by Tosfos. Tosfos is not here, but Tosfos in Maseches Pesachim. Many are familiar with the Gemara. The Gemara about Kiddush B'Makom Suda. The Gemara says, why do we make Kiddush in shul in the days of the Gemara? Why do we make Kiddush in shul? Why? La'afuke archim yidei chovasan. Because of the guests that are in the shul. Da'achlu v'shasu v'ganu b'mei k'nishta. For those guests that eat and sleep and drink in the shul. So he asks Tosfos, how are they drinking in the shul? How are they eating in the shul? How are they sleeping in the shul? So Tosfos says, oh, maybe it means in a side room. It doesn't mean the main area of the shul. It's la dafka beknishta el chadarim. So you smuch on the base of Knesset. That's Tosfos' best shot. Others say, maybe, again, like the Lohar Nasan said, hundreds of years later, that maybe it was Kahai Gavna. They made this Tanai when they built the shul. Okay, either way, this was a little discussion of sleeping in the shul, but generally, you know, we try not to sleep in the shuls if that is possible, right? Especially, obviously, Shenas Kava for sure not, but even Shenas Arai, one would tries not to. Okay, let's continue. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav, finishing up a Gemara that goes on to the next daf. Mavui shetzido echad ovid kochavim vitzido echad Yisrael. What if there's a mavui? This is the case. Rashi has a picture of it. On the one side of the mavui is a yard that a non-Jew lives in. On the other side of the mavui, there are three houses in a row. Only the house that's closest to the mavui opens up into a chatzer, which goes into a mavui. The other two houses are behind it. There is a window that connects the houses to each other. Those are all Jewish houses. And they all lead into the most inner house. That opens up into a chatzer that goes into a mavli. So Rav said the following statement, Ein ma'arvin oso derech halonos lahatiro derech psachem lamavli. Rav says you can't make an Erev in that case. The three houses are not allowed to make an Erev to then matir, going through and going into the chatzer, into the mavli. You can't. Why not? Why can't they make an Erev? So let's see. Amalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef. First of all, the question is, how far did he mean? Amar Rav afilu b'chatzer. Did Rav mean even b'chatzer? If this applied to a chatzer and not only to a mavui? If there was no mavui issue, if it was just the non-Jew on one side, and the Jews set up like this on the other side, did he say it also by a chatzer? Amalei in? Yes. De'ilo amar mai. Because if he didn't say it even by a chatzer, why would you think to distinguish between a chatzer and a mavui? We don't know why he said what he said anyway yet. We'll have to see that. But why would you have distinguished? So the Gemara says, well, as follows. This is why I would have distinguished. Hava amina, taima de Rav. I would have thought that the reason for Rav here is mishum de kasavar, as we said earlier. Ein mavui nitar belefti v'kora, ashu bachin batim v'chatzir tzuchon l'socho. Semicolon. I would have thought the reason is because Rav says you need that specific structure in order to allow lechis and korahs, in order to allow shittos and erevs to work. And here, you don't have that structure. So that's why I would have thought that it is not allowed. So that's why I would have thought that only applies by a mavui and not to a chatzer. That's why I would have been mechalik. But either way, l'maisa, we say it applies to a mavui and a chatzer. Again, where you have these Jewish houses that only the inner one opens up and is closest to the non-Jewish shared area. You can't make an Erev there, and we still don't know why. Let's just do a little more. V'tarti l'amali. First, the Gemara says, why do you need two statements of Rav about the Mavui being Nitar only with this specific structure? You have the statements here of Rav, which has to do with the non-Jew, and you have the other statement, which is the one that was just quoted. So v'tarti l'amali satzricha, we say you need, Rav had to make both statements. If we only had the earlier statement, which has nothing to do with non-Jews, not our specific case, Hava Amina Diras Akum Shmadira. I would have thought maybe Meikar Adin, Diras Akum, would be Shma Dira, as we discussed earlier, because it's nothing to do with a non-Jew. Not, the case was not discussing a non-Jew. Kamashma Diras Akum, Lo Shma Dira. That's why he has to say our sentence. The Ime Hacha, and if you only had our case about Mavi Shetido Echad Akum Etsido Acher are the Jews, Havamina Lo Yadana Batim. I would have, comma, I would never have known that you have to have the structure of houses into the yards, yards into mavuis. So kamash malam button train, and that's why we have the second statement of that was brought here, that you need the houses into the yards and the yards into the mavuis as well. That's why you need both. But now the question is, so what's his reason? Why can't you make an Eruv in this case? So let's finish this, and we'll talk about it more next time. Hashta. To Amar Rav, afilu chatzer. But now that Rav said even chatzer, so what's his reason? Time of the Rav to kasavar, aser lasos yachid, v'makom ovid kochavim. In this situation, the Jew who lives in the most inner house is alone with the non-Jew. Right? He has a private shared rishus. The other Jews are behind him. So Rav did not want to allow that to continue to exist. So similar, remember we had earlier, the whole reason of schiris makom. We don't want the Jew living with the non-Jew in the chatzer. So too here, Amar of Yosef, Ihachi, if that's true, Hainu de Shamana Leila Rabbi Tavla, now I understand what Rabbi Tavla said. De Amar, Ovid Kochavim, Trey Zimni, Veloyadana my Amar. Because I heard him say, Ovid Kochavim, Kochavim, two times. I don't know what he was talking about. Now I understand. What does that mean? He said it two times. What does that mean? So Rashi here quotes two days. Second day is, well, he said it twice. The case that Rav was talking about is by Chatzer and by Mavui. That's Ovi Kochavim two times. Or number two, he was very verbose and explicit in giving the reasons for this case, that he didn't want the Jew living with Ovi Kochavim, and he emphasized it. Now I understand why he emphasized it, because it is a serious issue. Okay, either way, we'll talk more about that, Beit Hashem, in the coming days. Okay, we'll stop here.